hour of seven has finally come. Welcome everyone to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for 7 p.m. here on Tuesday, June 13th. This is a regularly scheduled township meeting. This board, we did not meet an executive session prior to this meeting, but we did hold a public hearing, and that was on our to discuss the amendments to it to an ordinance dealing with the, zoning ordinance. It's too long for me to read out here, but it is on the agenda tonight in this hearing. So we did hold that hearing. That started at 5:30. Truthfully, it probably concluded at 5:45 p.m. So with that, we'll call this meeting, our regular meeting, to order. And I'd ask that everybody rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Christie, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
There are four present, one absent, and Supervisor did notify the office that she would not be in attendance this evening.
Very good. Seeing as a quorum of the board is present, we'll proceed. The first item on the agenda is our visitor public comment session. There are two such sessions on our agenda, one now and one at the end of the meeting. This is the appropriate time for me to sort of go through the normal housekeeping as it relates to public comment and speaking generally. Although it is posted within this meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. In addition to providing the accurate minutes, the audio version of this meeting is typically uploaded to the township website within a day or two of the actual meeting. So anyone who is going to speak, when you come to the podium, first of all, you can only speak if you're at the podium, because court reporter has to be able to take this down, right? So you come to the podium, state your name, first name and last name. If you have a particularly difficult last name, please spell it for the benefit of the court reporter. And if you're here giving public comment, we just need your address, your resident, you know, where you live in the township. If you're here because you're speaking on behalf of an agenda item, you don't have to give us your address. Just identify yourself and what role you play on behalf of the applicant. And that just helps the board understand who's speaking. And it is important because when folks are listening to the audio minutes, if we don't identify ourselves when we're speaking, it's very hard for anybody to follow who's actually making what comment at any given time during the meeting. So we ask them, we try to stick to that rule, generally speaking. In terms of public comment, if anybody has a comment, you're welcome to come to the podium. We typically ask people to make their comments in 3 minutes or less. We do that because most evenings we have a pretty busy agenda, so it helps us move through public comment and we get to the business items on the agenda that many people are here for. So if you get to the 3 minute mark and I'll gently ask you to sort of wrap up with your point. That isn't normally an issue. 3 minutes is typically longer than people realize when they're speaking. So with that, I'll open up the floor. Anybody from the public wishing to address the board, place comment into the record. This is the time to come forward.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Troy Sellers, S-E-L-L-A-R-S, number 2030 Rockwell Road. I wanted to let the board
Could you
know,
push that button, sir? Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to bring to the board's attention issues which I have been experiencing with Keystone Collections, the new subcontractor taking over all of the taxes. I will try to give you this in 3 minutes, but as an overview, they need better supervision or preferably to be replaced. They are overly aggressive. They are saying in your name items which are not legally accurate. Crazy hold times. There is never a supervisor at the call center. They say they will call you back, and maybe they will, maybe they won't. Very limited customer service. My tale begins with receiving a occupational privilege tax for my 24-year-old daughter who lives in Chicago. I did not get one for my 21-year-old who is a college student who still lives with us during the summers. I called thinking it was simply an oversight and said, you've got the wrong children. We need to switch this off. They didn't want to talk to me until I explained I was not only their father but their attorney and that I had the right to speak on their behalf. And with my oldest daughter, she moved to Chicago in 2021. We notified the township. They sent a 2023 occupational privilege tax, and when I said, no, she doesn't live there, they put me on a long hold and said, oh, yes, we see that she registered that she moved. You still need to have her provide a utility bill from her apartment in Chicago. I said, no, you have in your records that she moved. Why are you harassing for this? And also, what basis of jurisdiction do you believe that you, as a taxing authority, or acting upon a taxing authority, can have a citizen from another state provide information to you? And they hadn't lived in the state for, at that point, about 2 years. We'll get you in touch with the legal department. We'll call you back. Of course, no call back, so I have to call back. Wait on hold. Oh, yes, we've cleared that. Then they sent my youngest daughter's occupation for the tax, which I told them they missed. We went to fill it out online. Couldn't fill it out online because for a 2023 occupational privilege tax, they want a 2022 1040 state or local tax return. Talked to the woman at the call center and said, that makes no sense whatsoever. 2022 income has zero to do with whether or not she owes the occupational privilege tax in 2023. And oh yes, by the way, she had an unpaid internship in 2022 and didn't have income to file a tax return. Long hold, you need to have her open a Social Security account online and provide us with her earnings record from the Social Security Administration. I said, I don't think that's correct. Can you please have a supervisor? Can I talk to a supervisor? There are none. Can I please have a supervisor call me back? One will call you back in 48 hours. A week and a half later, actually not quite a full week and a half, a little over a week later, I get a phone call. The supervisor says, oh yes, that person at the call center is new and was wrong. All you have to do is have your daughter write on the back, I will have less than $12,000 worth of income, and sign it. Hey, great. Since that's different than what you have on your form, and different than what I've been told, would you send me an email to that effect so I have something for my file? No, we're not allowed to do that for security reasons. We can't send or receive emails. Okay, how about snail mail? We won't do that. So you're telling me instructions which are different than what are on your form, and you won't confirm that you've given me different instructions. I also said the form should change because it's clearly, she agreed with me, by the way, that the 2022 tax return has nothing to do with whether or not she has to pay a 2023 return. And I said, why do you want that? Supervisor, well, we're not asking for last year's tax return. You can use this year's tax return. Ma'am, when is this bill due? By December 31st, 2023. Ma'am, when do you file your 2023 taxes? In 2024. You would agree with me? I can't provide those to you to comply with this? No, I won't agree to that. When I asked why she wouldn't send me a letter or something confirming her instructions, we're not allowed. What do you mean? Oh, I'm sorry. We're prohibited. What do you mean you're prohibited? Are you prohibited by law or corporate policy? I won't answer that question. This has been what should be and was back in the old system a one-minute job. You sent the wrong bill to the wrong kid and you should just be able to sign on the back as we used to. And when I said, who's requiring this? Every single answer, by the way, was Derry Township. So they are invoking our township's name for the actions they're taking. I strongly encourage someone to get in touch with them and review their practices. One of these points, they're going to say one of these things or try to, I wonder, are they compensated by total amount they bring in, that they're seeking taxes from people that aren't residents anymore? something's going to happen and there's going to be a lawsuit, and they keep throwing you guys under the bus. Gary Township makes us. Gary Township makes us. So use this information as you will, but very disappointed.
Actually, thank you for bringing that to our attention. There's always a little bit of, we expected a little bit of bumpiness in the transition, right? But this is beyond that. And I will say that there was the record keeping of the tax association was far from perfect, and in fact, in most cases, it was very manual. So there were a lot of folks, many of us included, who had similar situations that you're describing about adult children receiving these bills. What you went through seems to be, I would say, pretty frustrating, and I appreciate you bringing it to our attention, because I know that Mr. Chrisman can make contact with Keystone, because we have good relationships with the folks to kind of walk through this, at least try to describe this experience and see. And it may be as simple as the people in the call center or the customer service center are new or inexperienced or just flat wrong, but we don't want them causing it.
May I ask a question? So, Mr. Sellers, would you be able to at least reach out to me, at least by email at a minimum, to give me some background so that beyond what was stated tonight, so that I can go back to our contact at Keystone and try to press your issue a little bit further?
Well, I think my issue is now resolved, but I will share with you that I think anyone who has a teenage kid who works a job in the summer is going to run into this exact same problem. And I, for the life of me, I couldn't get a single person to say why they wanted 2022 information for a 2023 occupational privilege tax.
Well, the only reason I bring this up again, too, is the school district's tax bill will be going out in July. So the second round of this is going to start for you.
Sure.
So the more information that I have up front, I can try to resolve that a little bit better than what you read.
Yeah, when I suggested that they should change their form to have it say, like the old form used to be, which is signing off, swearing under penalty or perjury, she said, no, Gary Township requires us to get this tax. So,
and it's interesting because my experience was that I had done this when the tax association was still operating, and I had to do the thing where I had an adult child that moved to another state, and I had to get the lease and provide that to the tax association, and I had taken care of that. And then it came back again with the transition. I got another one from them, like, but I already sent all this stuff in the first time, so I had to scramble. So. I didn't have the same difficulty you had. I had to jump through a couple of hoops, but it was resolved. But yeah, that's more than what we should expect in terms of bumpiness. I do appreciate you coming forward and telling us.
I hope it's worth something.
And I'm sorry,
is your email address on the website?
It is. And okay. So, I'm really, happy to advocate on your behalf. That's part of my job is to help you resolve these issues. So if you can get me more information, I'm happy to go back to them, because the school taxes are going to be going out very, very soon. I don't want you to run into it a second time. So
I'll be happy to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Anybody else that would like to come to the podium?
Good evening. I'm Kevin Ferguson, 1338 Quail Hollow Road. What I want to talk about tonight is the meeting that occurred prior to this meeting. The public meeting concerning the Hershey Trust wanting to amend our zoning laws downtown. 5:30 was not able to make that. I was surprised that right after that meeting it's going to be presented before the board to vote on. I would have thought that there would have been some time there after the presentation of specific information on that, that the public could have some time to chew on all that information and respond to it. So I want to express some of the concerns I have with that. And Mr. Emmer, if you can help me out, the public announcement references in Chapter 225, specifically 501 point something, or and I tried to look it up on the E-code to read what the current ordinance was, and all it says is reserved.
501-56.
Yeah.
So the reason it's reserved, are you okay?
Sure.
So the reason that it's reserved is it was a section that was removed before. When we were adding in a new section, it just turned out to be a nice placeholder to put in the new text.
So, all right, so what I wanted to do was see what the current ordinance was and compare it to what we wanted to do. Maybe it's a big deal, maybe it's not a big deal, so I don't know that. But it sounds like it's certainly a significant change in the ordinance, and it's being advertised as a dwelling for employees and students, but it's certainly much more than that. There's exceptions in that amendment that also would allow for family of the students, would also allow for alumnus of an institution, and also allows for prospective employees, people who are going through an interview process or a vetting process. I think the exception is for up to 6 months. So this sounds like it's nothing more than really a private hotel. And you have to be part of the club to get into that hotel. And I think it was clear with the two hotels were being built, the one next to Staples and the one that was previously built on the Memmi's lot, that the public does not want any more hotels downtown. Also, there's the concern, and this is part of the amendment, part of the ordinance, that they want to preserve or restrict congestion. And this certainly, putting this hotel in essentially downtown, is certainly going to add to the congestion, which is another concern that the public has had for a number of years now. The amount of traffic that's going through downtown and the congestion, putting this in this hotel will definitely add to the congestion. Two questions I have would be, why are they putting students there with the railroad tracks right there? Usually students need quiet to study and sleep, so I'm not quite sure what students they're referring to or why they would want to put them downtown. And it sounds like this really should belong down in the West End. I mean, they're developing that now. They had talked about putting a hotel in down there. It certainly sounds like they should take this project and put it down into the West End. I just get the sense that there's something else in play here for them wanting to put this right downtown. There's also an amendment to Exhibit E, I believe, that that deals with cost-benefit ratio. So I don't know if the question was answered at the previous meeting or not, but what is the result of this project with the, excuse me, I'm very sorry for this.
I would just ask
cost-benefit ratio.
I would just ask that you wrap up your comment now. We're at almost 5 minutes, so.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
And we are going to have this come up on the agenda, so you have an opportunity again if you'd like to ask, but I'm going to ask you to wrap up your public comment.
Good enough. I wanted to say this before you had the vote, but it just seems like if you are going to vote for this project to put the hotel downtown, you would be doing exactly what the public does not want to have happen. I think they've made that clear with the two hotels going down there with their concerns with the traffic. Thank you for the time.
Anyone else?
Hello, my name is Michael Malunic, M-I-L-U-N-I-C, and I live at 113 West Granada Avenue. I made a simple little one sheet with a picture on it. I can keep this. Is that permissible?
Yeah, you're going to hand it out for this one.
So thank you for your time tonight. Thank you for your services, supervisors, and thank you for listening to me. So no one can be everywhere all at once, and so here tonight, I'd like to highlight something that I noticed that happens from my point of view in living in town on West Granada Avenue, and that's the traffic that happens during busy concerts. And so I want you to picture yourself. So you take the sheet and you look at it. I want you to picture yourself. You're on Chocolate Avenue. You're on Ridge Road. You're by Chipotle. You're by First Watch. and you just have massive amounts of traffic coming from Chocolate Avenue, coming from the east, coming from the west, coming on Ridge Road, you know, it's backed up to Arriva. If all these cars on a busy concert night, an outdoor concert night. And so I found myself in that situation last year, and just the cars were not moving. There's a lot of cars, but the problem was they weren't moving. And I recognized the pinch point. And that pinch point is that stop sign that happens right under the underpass. And so what I did is the Blink-182 concert was on May 27th. I went down there with my stopwatch, and I just paid attention to the traffic for 15 minutes. And what I noticed, what I found was that in 15 minutes, you get 145 cars passing through that stop sign. So that's 9.7 cars per minute. What does that mean? That means all the cars coming from Ridge Road, Chocolate Ave East, Chocolate Ave West, you're only going to get 10 cars advancing every minute. And so, you know, when you see that picture, I was surprised to see that, you know, the straight lane is actually, there's no cars there because everybody's turning left. And if this doesn't work, that stop sign is a traffic control device, gets oversaturated. So there's been some, you know, implementation, like a Waze detour, that's been really helpful. People that use Waze don't cut through town anymore. That slip ramp gets closed. People that know about that don't go through there. But I have an idea for another arrow in the quiver, and that would be to just have a person direct traffic for like an hour. It's, you know, concerts, they come up really fast, and then they fade really fast, all that traffic. So presently you're getting less than 10 cars a minute when, you know, people go into the underpass, they're not familiar with the circumstances, they're from out of town. You know, you pull under, you're looking left, looking right, it's really confusing. When I was there, some cars, you know, there were cars that weren't stopping. They had enough of it. And they were going through at about 2 seconds. So if you had a person there saying, come on, come on, come on, come on, I mean, you're talking 30 cars per minute, which is really going to alleviate a lot of that gridlock where you really have cars stop in the intersection when there's a green light. And that's going to help everybody out. I think yes, they're great in Hershey. I want them to have a good experience. And if we want to keep, you know, incrementally advancing, they're going to say, hey, Hershey's great. We get to the show, we get out, everything's great. So I just have two questions. Have you previously been made aware of that circumstance caused by that particular stop sign? And would you be willing to have it addressed on these busy concert nights? Thank you.
It's a great point. Actually, this is good information. So I mean, Chief, I'm not sure. Would this be something, I mean, wouldn't Hershey Entertainment, this kind of, couldn't we have, I mean, it makes complete sense to have somebody directing traffic at that stop sign because they could usher through a lot of cars at one time and still be cognizant of vehicles. Well, nobody can come from the right at that stop sign, so it's...
I never say nobody.
Yeah.
I've already had them coming from the right side when they're at the stop sign, so... no, it's something we can take a look at and then talk with the GNR. Obviously, I can't say that they would have more staff to be able to take care of that than we would. Right?
But it really does, consider it really is only for a limited time, right?
Yeah.
So it's not even for the whole duration of the concert. It's really, really fun as people are getting to there. So it might be, I would appreciate it if you could just have that conversation with them, because that's it's a good observation. Thank you for providing, because we have been looking for ways to kind of move traffic through and stop it from coming through neighborhoods and trying to get it there in and out without disrupting, you know, the residents. So thank you. Anyone else? All right. Seeing as no one else has approached the podium, we will close the visitor public comment session now. At this time, we'll move to the next item, which is the consent calendar. Under the consent calendar, there are 7 items identified as A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. They appear on the agenda. The board can approve all items in one motion under the rules of the consent calendar, or we can take each one individually as the board sees fit. So at this time, I will open up the board for a motion.
I will make a motion that we accept tonight's consent calendar items A through G as outlined and made public in the agenda.
All right, motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any discussion or any questions?
Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. All items under the consent calendar of this evening's meeting are approved. Next item is under old business. It's item A, which is the request for authorization to execute the Dauphin County Local Shared Municipal Grant Agreement. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. By way of refresher, this item was on your agenda at your April 25th meeting. The board requested it be tabled. Our solicitor had some comments regarding some of the agreements that were between some of the grantees and Dauphin County. Since that meeting, we've had several conversations with the county solicitor's office, and they have since made some amendments to the agreements. The revised agreements are in your packet this evening. The content of the agreement is changing. The amount of money that the grantee is receiving is not changing. You know, it was just some minor language tweaks that were recommended by the solicitor's office, and they have been accommodated. So before you tonight, the only new one that's new for you this evening that is included as part of this is the agreement 2023-04 with Hershey Volunteer Fire Company. As you recall, that we are the grantee in this particular case, and the language doesn't necessarily change. But that application was for a debt service relief on some of the fire apparatus that we're purchasing. In fact, we'll be talking about another truck later this evening. That amount is $140,000. That agreement is in your packet tonight as well. So unless there are questions regarding the actual substance of the agreements, they're in a position tonight to be approved for execution. And if the board would do that, I'll make sure they get signed and get off to separate grantees tomorrow.
All right, very good. Any questions for Mr. Crispin? If none, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors authorize the Township Manager to execute Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Agreement 2023-04 through 2023-08 as noted this evening.
I'll second.
All right, motion is made by Mr. Corrado and seconded by Mr. Sambuda. Are there any questions or comments about any of the agreements or the motion in general? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to new business. Under new business, item F is the consideration of adoption of ordinance 2023-05. This is the one that one of our residents was speaking about earlier. We're going to move that up in the agenda from where it stands at F and pull it up to the very top under new business. And so with that, and then we'll go back to the regular sequence. So with that, we'll call up item F. So this is consideration of adoption of the ordinance 2023-05, amending chapter 225, of the Code of Ordinances of Derry Township by permitting dwellings for employees and students as a conditional use of the downtown core overlay 9.1 of the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District and establishing specific criteria and requirements for the same. Now I turn over to Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As discussed at the public hearing earlier this evening, ordinance number 2023-05, if approved, would amend chapter 225 zoning to allow as a permitted use by conditional use dwellings for employees and students within the 09 overlay of the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District. The proposed ordinance amends section 225.501.56 of the Code of Ordinances by adding new specific requirements for dwellings for employees and students within the downtown overlay district. The ordinance has been properly advertised for adoption this evening. I'll point out that the details of the draft ordinance had been discussed at previous Board of Supervisors meeting, where the original draft was brought in and has gone through multiple changes with Pat Armstrong, our legal counsel from the Hershey Trust Company, and Benchmark, as well as staff. And that's the ordinance that's presented this evening.
All right, and I don't remember the dates of those meetings, but there were multiple meetings which this item was addressed as part of the agenda item, and I remember that clearly at that time on that, it seems to me at more than one meeting we discussed a number of the concerns the board has and some of the points that one of our speakers mentioned earlier. These were issues that the board addressed, and we believe the way this amendment has been tailored, it will address those, some of the concerns we had about A, traffic, B, use, making sure that it didn't turn into a hotel or an apartment building, but that it was used for this very limited purpose. And so many of there were a lot of different issues that came up during those hearings. So I'm satisfied that, as one member, that we've addressed that in what has been published and presented to the board. Does anyone at this time on the board have any questions about this item? Now, we can vote to approve this. Do we want to open it up for public comment on this item before we vote? So, do you have anything to add to this particular issue, Mr. Emmerich? If not, then we'll just open it back up with the same rules for public comment as we typically have, but at least to get on this particular issue, anybody wishing to come forward can address those issues.
excuse me. as the board's aware, there are conditions associated with the conditional use. Those conditions are itemized in the ordinance as items A through W. Additionally, one of the advantages of a conditional use, permitted use, is there will be a hearing for that use in specific, or for specifically that use. And at that time, additional reasonable conditions can be added to any granting of the use. I think that will conclude my statements at this time anyway.
Well, then we will open this up for public comment, so we'll invite anybody wishing to come up. Again, you're happy to offer several minutes to make whatever points or place whatever comments you'd like to into the record, make the board aware of whatever concerns you have before we take it to a vote. So, anybody wishing to come forward?
Kevin Ferguson, the district attorney in Quail Hollow. So I pretty much made my points. The one I don't think I got to is the issue with Exhibit E, where they analyze cost-benefit as to whether it's positive or not positive. We want to change that. So that begs the question, is this going to be a positive fiscal benefit for the township or not? The original ordinance kind of suggests that they want it to be a positive fiscal benefit for the township. But the way they want to change the amendment, that question has been removed. So is this a positive fiscal benefit for the township or not? I don't know how you address the issue of the public being pretty clear that they don't want any more hotels downtown. I don't know how you negate the fact that there is going to be increased congestion from putting a hotel in that location. But I pretty much said what else I wanted to say. I think that it would have been a good idea to have a little bit more time between the public hearing. There's been a lot said about this, but nothing in specific detail. You get little bits and pieces. You're not quite sure in which way they're going. So you had the official public hearing on it just at 5:30. I personally would have appreciated a little more time to learn about what was discussed in that, so maybe I would have been able to offer up something else, or maybe I would have been satisfied with what was said. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, just do you want to lay out?
Yeah, what I was going to say is, Kevin, you can certainly call me tomorrow. I'd be happy to go over item by item the requirements for this, for this type of use. It's closer to an apartment building than it is to a hotel.
See, when I read the amendment that they want to make, it's not how I read it. That, you know, 6 months maximum for employees. You're having parents stay there. for students. See how that's going to be necessarily an apartment. You know, what defines an apartment? You know, how long you have to stay there for it being an apartment?
So let me just add too. This is a text amendment to the zoning ordinance.
Okay.
This is a text amendment to the zoning ordinance. It is not approval of any project.
Got it. But that's the next step. And I'd be more than happy to contact you.
Please do.
Yes, and I wish I would have beforehand, because I would have asked you about how I could actually see the code as written today, so I could compare it to what the amendment is. Don't have that luxury right now. But talking tomorrow, I could do that sometime later on, but it sounds like you're going to vote on it tonight, so it
probably... This is, just so you know, Mr. Ferguson, there was a public hearing on this issue in March, and then again one in May. So we spent months talking about this issue publicly, so I'm sorry that I feel like you're only hearing about it now, but this was publicly advertised on more than one occasion, and we had a lot of really good discussion back and forth, a lot of feedback, a lot of the concerns that you brought up, we brought up as well, and so we feel comfortable now that this amendment is very specifically tailored to a very small area, and we don't want it to turn into a hotel, and we specifically put provisions in there that would prevent that, but you have to, I'll defer to Mr. Emmerich on this, some of the things we inserted into the amendment are things that when you read them, you might not realize how it will limit the ability of this structure to become a hotel, but we're satisfied that these different provisions will prevent it from turning into an apartment or a hotel, because that was a concern of ours. What happens if it gets sold in 3 years and then somebody decides to convert it to an apartment or a hotel?
So,
and even with the traffic, we spent a lot of time talking about the traffic that would be associated with this facility and how it would impact Chocolate Avenue. So a lot of this was already discussed, and we had a lot of good conversation about it.
Yeah, okay, it, fair enough. And, that's on me for not being on top of this from the beginning. And I recognize you discussed it, but what was the resolution to it? I mean, that's what I don't know. And the concerns that you had to limit this to make sure it doesn't turn into a hotel, are they in the amendment?
I think that if he explains it to you the way it has been explained to us over the last 6 months, we felt comfortable that these provisions taken together would prevent that from occurring. So I'm hoping that he can have the same conversation with you and share with you what's been done and how the amendments will actually restrict that. I mean, we're not going to do it now because we've spent many meetings talking about
that. I mean, if it's been done, it's in the amendments so that it's solid and they can't somehow get around it. And next thing we know, hey, look, it's a hotel. Yeah. That's fine. And you can lay it out for me, but when I read that, the amendment, I'm not confident at all that this is anything other than like a boarding house or a hotel.
Well, your comments are well taken. And
all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, anybody else with public comment on this particular issue? All right, so the matter, we'll close the public comment as it relates to this item F. And that takes us to the time to vote. So, is there a motion on this item?
I'll make the motion that the ordinance number 2023-05 is hereby adopted as written.
I'll second.
Right. Motion is made by Mr. Zamuda. It's seconded by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there any other discussion on this motion or on this issue or any questions?
I just want to, for the record, make it clear that this particular item was continued from the 5:30 hearing to tonight's meeting for this consideration. Okay.
So you have to close the hearing. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Peter, and then we will, hearing no further questions or comments, we'll now take a vote on the motion. All those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. That will return us to the top of the agenda under new business. The first item being the request to authorize the specification and purchase of new fire apparatus. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I alluded to earlier under the old business topic, before you tonight is a request from the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company to purchase a new Attack 48 vehicle. If you recall, when we went out last year looking to purchase a new engine, which replaced engine 48-1, at that time we talked about the need to get into a better rotation of replacing equipment. This particular vehicle has been in service since 1998, so it's on its 25th year. And it's in need of replacement due to lack of parts and its availability to keep it in service safely. The engineering committee through the volunteer fire company has put a spec together that's in your packet tonight. The total cost, much like our last apparatus that was purchased, if we prepay 100% up front, we get a reduction in the price. But to do that, the total cost would be $747,590 to purchase this piece of equipment. If we don't do it now, there are definitely price increases forthcoming through Glick and Pierce with changes in engine design. There's also a 31-month lead time. So if you recall, when we went through this process last year, I think the lead time for the new engine was 24 months. As you can see, orders are beginning to rapidly come in because there's changes in the marketplace with respect to how these pieces of equipment are purchased and spec. So due to supply chain issues that are affecting this industry, that 31-month lead time is fairly significant to get this apparatus delivered to the township and get it in working order, which is why we're here before you tonight. Additionally, last year at this time, we put a financing vehicle in place specifically for this purpose. You will recall that we, in essence, created a line of credit for the township with $3 million being available. The first million was set aside for engine 48-1. The second million was set aside for this now Attack 48 replacement. And that third $1 million is set aside for capital projects involving Derry Township itself. Be it police department, be it physical plant, be it what it needs to be. At this point, we have not drawn down that either of those, that $2 million that remains on that line of credit at this point. So if the board would authorize us to go forward this evening, we'll get into motion the drawdown for that second $1 million as part of that line of credit that we have already entered into last year. And certainly if it turns out that the township does not need that additional $1 million, that third $1 million slug that's out there, we would not draw those funds down. We would let that expire at no penalty to the township. There's also no prepayment penalties. So part of the direction the Board of Supervisors had to the administration with respect to purchasing this equipment would be to look at the local share grant opportunity from the casinos to help offset the debt service. We continue to do that. We just approved that $140,000 grant agreement under old business this evening. Those funds will be specifically set aside to address the debt service issue with this apparatus. Engine 48-1. But moving forward into the next grant cycle, which will be coming up in another meeting or two, we'll be looking to address the total debt service obligation for both of these pieces of equipment, hoping that the gaming grants will help offset those costs for us. We do have representatives from the company here tonight. If you have specific questions related to the actual vehicle itself, again, everything is in your packet this evening. If you have any questions of me, I'm happy to try to answer them, but I can certainly defer to Dave Sassman and the gentlemen that are here if you have questions about them.
So Dave, who can speak to the, I think it would be helpful to have someone speak to the actual, how do you use the Attack vehicle, and why is it so important in Derry Township to have a vehicle like this? If you can speak to it, that's great.
I can't do it. Excuse me. I can answer most of the questions. I do have former fire chief Russ Snap with me, who was part of the committee. He can also maybe answer some questions for me, so I'll have him come up too. A little bit of what I can tell you about is in the 1998, this was a four-wheel drive, high-mounted vehicle. One of its specialties to it was it assisted us through snow, and it was basically designed with some angled bumpers, if anybody's ever seen. It's a shorter wheel-based piece of apparatus, and it's designed primarily to respond up into the hills. Because of the steep angled driveways, one of its benefits is it allows it to get up into those driveways. In the event of a structure fire or something like that, that would be the first new piece of apparatus to serve those homes up there. This new apparatus is designed with that same similar structure to be able to serve those residents in that area. And then additionally, when the other trucks would get there, they would stay on street level, and then everything would go forward from there. So that's one of the primary pieces that that piece of apparatus does for us. It is four-wheel drive. It has a brush or a turret in the front to spray water. It was very useful. If you recall, a couple of years ago on July 4th, we had a hill fire started by fireworks, and that actually was very successful in the attack of that to knock down that fire very quickly. So it serves many purposes for our township. As to some of the capabilities, I'd like to have the committee address maybe some of the new specific things that we're doing. In terms of the pumps, we've increased pump size, gallons of water, and so forth. So I'll let them just briefly go over that if I could, and that's what I'll leave at for now.
So one of the things we looked at is, with our township growing, is right now we have two frontline engines, but if one goes out of service, we also designed this that it could move into that position to be a secondary frontline engine. So we're looked at a bigger pump capacity, also to help with our ISO insurance ratings as a township, so that it'll help keep the rates down for the taxpayers at a minimum. We're adding a different, larger ladder size. Our current one's only a 12-foot ladder. We're looking to go to a 24-foot ladder with that. We're also looking at still having it designed for as a brush in the attack. And this past couple of weeks, we used our current attack truck quite heavily with mulch fires downtown and assisting in some of that. So it's still a use that we have. The other thing that we've done is we're keeping it extremely high, is because we also use this in severe weather, our flooding situations we had in the past, like Dave said, are up on the hill area for getting up the high driveways and stuff. So we haven't, I think the committee started 5 years ago looking at redesigning the current attack truck, and we just kept building off of it to get to this. And then the direction we got from the fire officers and from the group was that we wanted to be able to have it be able to not just be only a brush or that kind of, but also a reserve engine, so to speak. I shouldn't say use the word reserve, but be able to be moved in that capabilities if need be. So we've gone to a larger pump size, larger water size, and our goal is that it'll be able to serve our township in the future for the same goal.
And considering the current attack vehicle is, it's 25 years old now, but even if we were this tomorrow, we're looking at almost 3 years before it gets delivered. So we're looking at the current attack vehicle has to be maintained for another 3 years. And I know Dave, you talked a little about the expense in maintaining these as they get older. I mean, we're all for keeping these trucks, as you guys can appreciate, as long as possible.
Right.
28 years is really on the outer edge, it seems to me, in terms of length of service for a lot of these kinds of vehicles. So
yeah, we have some Band-Aids that we have in place right now. We know they're not long-term fixes, but it's quite costly. But we did do some Band-Aid fixes that we're still using it. And we, like I said, we've been running it quite heavily the last couple of weeks. We just had the pumps redone. We had a lot of maintenance done on that. We had some front axle work done a year ago that we keep monitoring it, working with an outside vendor, and keeping that in good condition so that we can use it, the all-wheel drive capabilities of it. And it's the functions, we have some functions that are reduced from when we did buy it, but it's still a functional piece that can still meet. We're band-aiding it through meet our needs as we see them today.
And I have to give the fire department credit for, you know, you gentlemen, the ladies and gentlemen of the fire department do a great job of maintaining those vehicles. I mean, they're always, they always seem to be in good repair. They're clean. They're, you know, it's, we appreciate that you take such good care of them, and they get a lot of hard work, so it's not easy to do. Does anybody else have any questions?
I don't have any questions about the truck itself. Is there any, if the truck is not delivered within 31 months, is there any remuneration back to the township if it takes 40 months? Like a surrender or any kind of crawlback if for some reason?
I don't know the answer to that specifically, but they do bond for it, you know, so when we could act on the bond if necessary. So we could recuperate some of our funds, our lost funds in time. But as far as amount, I don't know that specifically.
Yeah, okay. I just thought I'd ask the question as it relates to if it's in the contract with us.
And it seems like it's taking longer and longer. I mean, the truck we just ordered, we said it would take 2 years. This has now taken almost 3 years.
And every time we meet with the different reps that have helped us get to this point, the biggest concern, and like the township manager said, is the engine specs and stuff like that. They keep telling us that the engine manufacturers are really looking at different engines coming up. So we're trying to, that's one of the concerns, that if we wouldn't get something ordered very shortly, we might even get pushed out even further because nobody knows what engines are going to be built in the future.
David made that point. And so this is not, I had met with representatives of the fire department at a prior meeting to kind of go through these, so we had the benefit of hearing some of this, and it's good for the board and the public to hear what you're saying here tonight. So I don't have any other questions. If does anybody else have any questions, and we're willing to sit down.
Could you tell me your name? Could you tell me your name again, sir?
My name is Russell Knapp, KNAPP.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so if there are no other questions, we can entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve and authorize the specification and purchase of a new fire apparatus to replace Hershey Volunteer Fire Company Attack 48.
All right, very well. Motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Zanuta. Any further question or comments? Now, I would just point out under comments, underscore what Mr. Crispin said about the funding of the vehicle. While we're always the backstop in terms of funding, by we, I mean the taxpayers, we've successfully obtained gaming funds for years to help offset the cost of our fire apparatus. It's worked very well for us in the township, and we'll continue to pursue those funds to help offset the cost. So, you know, I appreciate your focus on that, Mr. Crispin, because I think it's that is an appropriate use of, a real appropriate use of the gaming funds, because one thing a lot of folks don't understand is, as a contiguous community to a township with a casino, the men and women of our fire department have been called on before when there have been events at the casino, fire events. Our apparatus is like the first line of, is the best line of defense oftentimes for events that happen up at that casino. So the funding stream actually makes a lot of sense in this particular instance. So with that, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your presentation. The next item on the agenda then is B. It's the approval of engineering design services. The approval of an engineering design services proposal to create bid documents for the replacement of the air conditioning units at the Hershey Public Library. Mrs. Jacqueline.
The township is currently seeking board approval to accept Moore Engineering Company's proposal to create bidding documents for a replacement air conditioner unit at the Hershey Public Library. The library is in need of a new air conditioner. The current one is over 20 years old and is original to the building. Recently, it was determined that the system is at the end of its useful life and needs to be bid out for replacement. In the attached proposal, Warren Engineering estimates the cost of $16,424 for the total project, which includes such items as design drawings, technical bid specifications, attendance at a pre-bid meeting, answering technical questions during the bidding process, and reviewing the final bids. Moore was referred to us by NRG, who holds the current service contract for the air conditioning system. The cost does not include travel costs, cost estimates, or site or civil engineering services that could result if the underground pipe from the current air handlers to the library needs to be replaced. This could add 15% to the estimated cost. All details are listed in the proposal. If approved today, the work would begin in mid-July of 2023 and be available for a bid period beginning in September of 2023. Approximately $10,000 of the cost for this project are covered by an existing line item in capital improvements. Anything not covered by that line item will be covered by utilizing the existing fund balance to offset the individual line item. If the Keystone grant we applied for is received, 50% of the engineering costs will be eligible for reimbursement. Does anyone have any questions?
I don't, Allison, I mean, you brought this to our attention now for months, so we knew that this was coming. This is the first step to rectifying that issue. So does anybody else have any questions for Allison? All right, hearing none, is there a motion? All right, I'll go ahead and move that the Board of Supervisors approve the proposal from Moore Engineering to design a replacement air conditioning system for the Hershey Public Library. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is item C. It's the request by the East Shore YMCA to hold the Trogues Hop Dash on Saturday, September 30th, 2023 at 9 a.m. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The East Shore YMCA is planning a 5K run that will be held on Saturday, September 30th at 9 a.m. The race will start and end at Trogues Brewing Company, 200 East Richburg Drive. The East Shore YMCA is a nonprofit organization that proceeds from the event will aid in subsidizing programs for people in the Central Pennsylvania region. Due to the nature of the event and the roadways involved, the roadways will be closed off and only local residential traffic while the event is going on. The roadways closed will be both state and township roadways and will include Hirsch Park Drive, Lovelock Road, Square Road, and Sandy Trip. This is the same route the event organizers used last year, and there were no reported issues encountered in the event and traffic plans were well managed. The event organizers are familiar with and agree to the township's reimbursement policy. We'll have a combination of on-duty police officers and on-duty community service officers manning the traffic control points. There may be a need for some off-duty officers on overtime, but we'll try to keep that to a minimum with the reimbursement policy in effect. We do have Chip Hitz here tonight from YMCA, so if you would have any questions about the event, he's here to answer those. I know last year wasn't the only year that we've held this event and managed it. It's been a few years. I think there was maybe a year, maybe two, that weren't done because of COVID. I think it was one year.
We actually were able to have it every year. We've been lucky in that direction. But yeah, so yeah. It's, and we've been here in Hershey for the last like 4 years.
Yeah. And those roadways that are closed are, that's temporary, it's like a rolling closure. So once the race is off a certain runway, we reopen that, keep the rest of the course closed, and so it's minimal impact on traffic.
And it's a run, so it's if it's a 5K, it should be even, the whole event should last 2 hours or less?
1 hour.
1 hour, okay. Well, it would take me 2 hours. sounds like it will be limited duration, and you're familiar with the reimbursement policy to the extent that there are officers that are working on overtime to accommodate this race. So does anybody have any questions then for the chief or for the YMCA? All right, we'll entertain a motion. I'll go ahead request to hold the Trogues Hop Dash 5K run on Saturday, September 30th, 2023, starting at 9 a.m. be hereby approved. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further questions or any comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is D. It's the approval for the Hershey Public Library to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the American Heart Association to provide blood pressure cuffs to patrons for at-home use. Ms. Jacobin. Mrs. Jacobin.
The Hershey Public Library is currently working with the American Heart Association to provide blood pressure cuffs for patrons to borrow from the library. This allows the library to take an active part in eliminating health disparities and improve the cardiovascular health of the Derry Township community through efforts targeting access to blood pressure resources and high-quality patron education. A memorandum of understanding has been drafted to outline the responsibilities of both parties, and recommendations from the township solicitor have been incorporated into the final document. A release form waiving the township's liability for users to sign before checking out or using the blood pressure cuffs will be developed in consultation with the township solicitor before the cuffs are offered for patrons to borrow. Does anyone have any questions about this one?
So the I think it's a really good idea, the blood pressure cuffs. Any concern that you know people are going to be borrowing them, taking them home, and I don't know if these ever need to be calibrated. I have one at home, so I know how they work, but I'm assuming it's something similar to that.
Yes, the Heart Association is going to be training the staff on how to use the blood pressure cuffs, and we will be able to take them back to them if we need to get them repaired or anything like that.
Yeah, I think lots of folks, a lot of the symptoms associated with high blood pressure are very hard for people to detect, and a lot, probably more people realize, more people have high blood pressure than actually realize it, and it can be, over-dramatize it, but I mean, it can be very, cause serious health consequences. So I think it's a great program, and I think it's great, Allison, that the library is partnering with the American Heart Association. So, anybody have any questions or comments? Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion that our board authorizes Allison to sign the MOU between the American Heart Association and Hershey Public Library to loan blood pressure cuffs.
Motion made by Mr. Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is approved unanimously. Thank you. The next item is E. It's the presentation of the proposed roundabout at the intersection of Bachmanville Road and Homestead Road. Mr. Hummer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For years, the intersection of Bachmanville Road and Homestead Road has been a concern for the motoring public, with limited sight distances, irregular geometry, and high speeds. Hume Hershey School is looking into improving the safety at this intersection through the installation of a roundabout. The design is nearly complete, and they are here tonight to present the design and move the project through the permitting process with PennDOT. They are also working with Pat Armstrong to develop an agreement related to the permitting and operation of the roadway improvements. With that brief introduction, I'll turn it over to Representative Stoneman Milner Hershey School.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Greg Rogalski, R-O-G-A-L-S-K-I, with Pinoni Associates. We're here this evening representing the Milner Hershey School. This evening, what's in front of you is related to the construction of a roundabout, as Chuck has indicated. As a result of some conversations reaching back probably 2 years now, as part of the land development approval of the Catholic Hershey School project at the intersection of Homestead and Governor, one outcome of that was a commitment to analyze this particular intersection at the time for a four-way stop. As we got into that process, it became pretty apparent that as an alternative to a four-way stop, the consideration for a roundabout would be part of that particular discussion. And roundabout analyses are all pretty much standard nowadays in terms of PennDOTs, particularly when you have signalized intersections or any type of advanced traffic control. And this intersection presented a case for a roundabout. In fact, in this particular instance, the roundabout that we proposed will take this intersection's operational status from, you've heard level of service, I know you have, being a C to an A in all categories. So we are actually making this as good as it can possibly get in terms of operational status. If you listen to the roundabout guys, the roundabout gurus, and you like to drink their Kool-Aid, they will tell you the following stats. 90% reduction in fatal crashes, 75% reduction in serious fatality crashes, 35% reduction in overall crashes. So a proven countermeasure, you know, as identified by the Federal Highway Administration, are the installation of these roundabouts. In addition to that, Milton Hershey is taking the opportunity to define a gateway to its southern core campus this is a view looking southbound on Homestead Road. Essentially, to the left is Bachmanville Road, obviously to the right as well. Recently, the trust had purchased the property to the upper right-hand corner intersection, so they are the owners of the property on all four corners of this building. The way the process works, as I'm sure you're well aware, the township is the applicant. Homestead Road is a township road. Bachmanville Road is a state road. We have essentially prepared a design that has been presented to PennDOT for review on behalf of the township, and we're here this evening to kind of wrap up all the legal items that are associated with that. It has been a long 18 months, but we are close in terms of actually getting this HOP. So the township engineer has reviewed this throughout the process. We received as clean a letter as we can get at this point as of May 4th. We have resubmitted to PennDOT, and we expect potentially a conditional permit as early as this week, early next week. As the board is also aware, this is a relatively major corridor to the Terry Township Public School campus. You know, it is our desire, and if we had been able to already start, we would have, to be able to do this work in the summertime. And the reason for that, of course, is that is an access to be able to facilitate, you know, school traffic, particularly in the morning hours. The project itself is a roundabout. It's most similar to that existing roundabout on 322 near Homestead Lane, if you're familiar with that. A very similar design. It will not have a statue in the middle of it, but at the end of the day, the roundabout geometry is very similar. Intended to reduce speeds, increase capacity for the actual intersection itself. It also contains pedestrian and bike facilities, as well as lighting. All of those items are kind of highlighted in this memorandum of understanding which has been prepared between the township and the school. There are certain elements that, you know, we have committed, and the school has committed to maintain in perpetuity, specifically some of the decorative asphalt features and the lighting. What you see there is, you know, the truck court is kind of the interior portion of that. The roundabout property is on the outside. We've been through a number of studies in terms of truck traffic. We have specifically analyzed and modeled the Hershey's tower truck to be able to get through the intersection. We have no concerns that that won't be, you know, that would be an issue for larger vehicles traversing it. The documents that are in front of you, particularly for approval tonight, include agreements between the township, you know, some standard agreements related to stormwater, some easements. One of maybe the most important document is this maintenance agreement between the township and the school. Ultimately, as well, the school will be, or the trust will be, dedicating lands to the township that the township will then turn right around and dedicate to PennDOT. So there's a whole stack of agreements, and Tim Anderson's here with me tonight if there's any specific questions on the legal issues that they have been reviewed by Mr. Armstrong prior to the meeting. And we're pretty well there. I think a final version was kind of circulated late this afternoon, but at the same time, we're there. Can I answer any questions for the board?
Greg, just I noticed on the roundabout on the campus, the first one you hit, sometimes I see trucks go through there, and they sort of inartfully.
Yep.
Around it. So if there's damage done to that center, because trucks are sometimes they're driving up over that curbing, who will be responsible for repairing that damage?
I would say the way the agreement is currently written, it would be the township. Once again, the physical improvements related to the pavement and the curbs and things like that are identified as the town's responsibility. The school's responsibility is limited to the printed asphalt, the lighting, and some of the decorative elements.
But the school isn't paying for all of
office.
Yeah, correct. Okay. So, I mean, there's a trade-off. And I have to say, I mean, two points. That is heavily trafficking that part of Homestead Road by high school students. And that intersection as it exists today is a tricky intersection. And I live in that area. If you live in that area, drive it, and you're trying to cross Bachmanville there, it's, you know, anything that can make it safer for those, for the students that, because there's a huge number early in the morning and late in the afternoon traveling, traversing that road. And so I'm in support of it. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a safety measure.
The data certainly identifies that the AM slug of traffic is very condensed. You know, the PM's a little bit more spread out, so in the AM peak hour, it's a level of service C, it would be returned to an A with the installation.
Great. Typically, how long do these take to construct? I know we just went through one on Waltonville. I didn't know if that typical construction.
Well, let's start with, that's a good question. So we already have a contractor on board. Bulldozers are warming up tonight. not random, but you know, anticipate getting started. You know, probably, hopefully, in the middle of July. But it's going to be a process. You know, we're going to probably be fighting the paving season at this point in time. So there's likely going to be a period of time, pretty heavy duty construction up until paving season. Get that buttoned up, and then potentially next spring we might have to do some, you know, additional work. So in terms of one full year of a you know, kind of calendar year, but. It's our intent to, you know, hit it as hard as we can to get out of some of these issues that we're, you know, experiencing with the traffic. There's a multi-phase maintenance and protection of traffic plan. We don't have to shut this thing down, but there is going to be a point that we are going to have a detour in place to do like the final piece of it. So, you know, we want to be able to coordinate all that to be able to get as far as we can, you know, where we don't have this blood flows.
That was going to be my next question, if there was going to be a temporary intersection or a bypass.
So there's a three-phase plan that's actually part of the package. ERG's reviewed it as well. You know, initially, we'll kind of do all the construction on the outside corners, and then there will be a point where we kind of push the intersection to the north and kind of do a loop-de-woo, you know, continue to maintain traffic. And then ultimately, there would be a through lane northbound on Homestead Road. But then Bachmanville will have to be shut down at some point, the side roads. And that would involve a detour that would use Meadow Lane, 322, and kind of back. The fortunate part is there's some pretty good parallel, you know, streets traffic. And once again, a lot of the traffic coming down Bachmanville isn't really a problem. It's the traffic on the main line and Homestead that we were trying to address. So,
and the hope is that would remain open throughout the winter hiatus if you had to take one night?
Well, certainly, if we got to a point in the fall that we were, you kind of had to shut down for the winter because of the paving, that it would be open. Yeah. That would be the intent. I don't think the intent would be to try to get that buttoned up any way we can for that kind of winter season. And through the winter like last winter, well, then, you know, maybe we get there. But, you know, we just don't know at this point. So.
Thank you.
Great. I see that I'm interested in the student safety and the pedestrian safety and the bicycle safety. I'm looking at the map on here, or the sketch you guys have. What kind of trail linkage do you guys have on here? Are you going to be linked to the Early Childhood Development Center?
No. So we propose all four corners have the bike access, a multi-use pedestrian path, essentially, that would double as a bike path. They essentially terminate at this point just north of the actual area. As you're aware, at Catherine Hershey School, you know, there was a multi-use path that was extended southward, and it stops at that property line. If you were, but there's not a connection at this point.
Is there any plans for a connection?
There's been discussion, but no commitment.
Be nice to have a connection.
We pre-planned that question. You know, clearly that you know, at this point in time, I think the focus is investing on this and getting this to a point.
I'm going to get back to this for a second. The lighting you were talking about. How much lighting are we talking about?
Very similar to the existing roundabouts. There's some higher, I'll call it roadway fixtures that are consistent with the ones that we're using on 322 at the roundabout proper. So a couple of poles there, and then a couple of, call them the Hershey Spartan headlights that would kind of go beyond. you're talking about really the intersection itself. We're not going down a Bachmanville either direction.
Right,
or far, you know, so that's the high high top lights. It would be the roadway lighting, and then that's the middle portion for sure.
All right. Are there any other questions for Mr. Rogalski?
I just want to reiterate that I'm a proponent of trail connectivity. So I put that on the record for you.
Put that on the epitaph.
Your staff is getting it clear as well. So kudos,
John. So there doesn't appear to be any action for us to take tonight.
That's correct. We wanted to introduce this project fully rather than bring a document to the board and ask them to sign it. It's not really been explored. So at your next meeting, we expect Pat is nearly complete between Pat and Tim are nearly complete with the agreements. I think two or three words. Is that right, Tim?
I was going to say eight, but
okay. And staff has reviewed the agreements as well.
We would ask, you know, once again, we're predicting that we're going to be having this permit very, very soon, so we just don't want delay in the execution of the documents. You know, if there's any issues we can address ahead of time, we would like to
continue. So if anybody on the board has any issues, please get them to Mr. Emmerich quickly, but I don't see any, based on your description tonight and the conversation here, it seems to me, if everything's in order with Mr. Armstrong, we'll go ahead and be able to put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
Yeah, I can channel Pat saying, yeah, it's actually 7.5 words, but we're good with the document, and you know, I think it's good to get the board on board initially, but I don't see any problem next meeting having them on the form and getting the board to sign.
And this is a multi-phase, you know, once again, we'll have to dedicate right away a certain period of time in the future and things like that, so just so we're not here every meeting, hopefully we can just set that tone so that as they come down, we can
square them. Great, Tim. I've been super focused on the agreement. Where are you with the need for signatures on the PennDOT application?
Well, it's the same. So the M950AA, the actual document that allows us to apply on that behalf, we anticipate that being a condition potentially of the permit. If we could get that would help us out immensely.
Well, that's what I was...
Yeah.
That's why I was asking, because I noticed that you had an issue with waiting a meeting. So it's up to the board if we want to get the permit moving, knowing that the agreement is nearly there. That's up to the board whether or not they get signed between now and the next meeting.
That's something that I'd be prepared to address if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
So, Tim Anderson, Captain Pepper, representing Buck Hershey School. The main document is the one that was originally styled as an MOU. It was modeled after the document for 322 roundabouts. Mr. Armstrong made some pretty extensive changes to it, sent it back to us Friday, I think. I think it is 7.5 words away from being done. If that could be approved subject to review of an approval of the solicitor, that would give us that would allow us to sign and apply, and so that the HOP process is not slowed down by waiting for the next meeting. The other documents are all subsidiary documents or ancillary documents. They're the ones that actually implement the transaction. There's deeds of dedication, temporary construction easements, drainage easements, and then a couple of documents relating to stormwater. You know, those are forms that are well worn, and that's not an issue. I think the agreement that was formally called an MOU, now just out as an agreement, is the one we've been focused on, and which is 7.5 words away from being.
Okay, so you'd like us to just go ahead?
I would really like that, or whatever is necessary to allow the application to be filed, and where are your solicitor? I'd say sign, get the agreement done, and then submit the application, because it's really the document that provides it.
And so, Mr. Keenan, are you comfortable if you and Mr. Armstrong are comfortable that this agreement is literally that close to being finalized, it doesn't seem to me to be a hurdle for us to worry about, and we can go ahead and make the motion subject to final approval of council.
That's what we have for you.
We also need signatures on the PennDOT form, correct?
Yeah, that's really what we need to submit the PennDOT. You know what I mean? PennDOT's not going to necessarily care too much about
this. They don't care.
Yeah, so really the document to be signed is this M950AA.
Right.
So
Say the number again?
M950AA.
Okay.
And that's a routine document.
I'm familiar. I don't know the number. I'm familiar with the document. My recommendation here, and I have talked to Pat about this before the meeting, is the board can authorize execution of both the agreement and the M954A, whatever, conditioned upon Pat, signing off finally on them. We did get Mr. Anderson's final version of the agreement with some changes. I haven't heard from Pat about those changes, but I don't see them being problematic. But what we can do with this way, as long as Pat says, since he's more familiar with this than me, everything's A-okay, with this vote, we can then get it signed and off to them, by the end of this week. But that would be my recommendation of how to proceed if you want to do it tonight.
So it would be executing the agreement and the authorization to execute the highway occupancy permit?
M950.
And right, the authorization for us to apply on the township's behalf.
What is the M?
M950AA.
Two names.
So those are two documents, the agreement and the M950AA. Correct.
That's what we'd be asking for you to do, and then we'll follow up with the subsidiary documents that they're providing for us.
All right, well, it seems to me, since our council is comfortable with that and they've been the ones reviewing the documentation, I'll go ahead and make a motion that we authorize execution of the agreement.
Capital A.
Oh, and as well as the M950AA form from PennDOT. So that we can move this project forward, and it's subject, though, to the final approval of Mr. Armstrong.
Correct. That's our request.
Okay, so I've made the motion. Is there anyone else?
I'll second it.
All right, seconded by Mr. Zanuda. Anybody have any questions or comments? I would just say we don't typically, Mr. Grosky's been in other meetings now, letting you know that we don't typically like to put the cart before the horse on these things, but you seem so close, and based on representation of council, I think we all feel comfortable moving this forward. So with that, all in favor of the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That'll take us to item G, which is the consideration of adoption of resolution number 2023-13, authorizing the execution of documents required for the highway occupancy permit application associated with the installation of pedestrian crossing signals at the intersection of Fishburne Road and Parkin Road. Mr. Hammer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, Dairy Township did receive funding for a flashing pedestrian crossing at the trail. Of Fishburne, at the location of Fishburne and Hartley Road where the trail crosses. As is typical with PennDOT projects, there are multiple agreements, easements, right-of-ways, and other related documents that need to be executed during the course of the project. PennDOT typically likes to see a resolution for many of those, so that's what's being presented to you this evening, is a resolution authorizing, as appropriate, either the board chairman or township manager to sign the documents on behalf of the township.
Any questions for Mr. Emmer on this item? If not, we can entertain a motion. I'll go ahead and move that the Board of Supervisors adopts resolution number 2023-13, authorizing the execution and submission of documents required for the PennDOT documents for the highway occupancy permit application and all other associated forms and documents related to the signalized pedestrian crossing located at the intersection of Fishburne Road and Hartley Road. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any questions or comments?
I have a comment. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that this is the township's continued effort to improve the safe conduct of our citizens and township's walkability.
That happens to be a particular dicey crossing.
Yes.
And I'm sure there are many people who drive that area or try to cross the road there realize how potentially perilous that could be. So I think it's great that it's happening. All that being said, all those in favor of the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. All right, the next item is H, is the consideration of fourth time extension for conditional approval of the preliminary final development plan for the 1106 Cocoa Avenue project for Nagillum Properties, LLC, Plat 1333. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The subject property is located along the western side of Cocoa Avenue. The site is within the Hershey Mixed-Use and Southern Core Overlay Zoning Districts and contains a gross lot area of 16,000 square feet. Currently, there's a mixed-use commercial building on the site. It'll be demolished to make room for a new medical practitioner's office, specifically for a dentist. The site will also contain all necessary parking. The Board of Supervisors initially approved Plat 1333 on January 4th of 2021, conditioned upon several items being addressed by the applicant no later than July 4th, 2021. The Board most recently granted an extension on December 6th to require the outstanding conditions to be addressed no later than July 4th of 2023. The applicant, by way of their engineer, has requested a fourth extension of time until January 4th of 2024 to address the outstanding comments. The fourth extension request proposes no changes for the details of the previously approved plan or to the waivers granted. The only change being an update of the dates of the 12 items of condition of approval.
So I'll just raise my general concern that, this has been, these projects, these land development plans get filed. It's now going on almost, I can't tell, maybe it's 2 years or almost 2 years, it seems like. Or is it a year and a half? But is there an end in sight to the continuance requests? Mr. Rogalski.
Members of the board. Greg Rogalski, Pinone Associates. Quick background, as you guys are aware, Pinone purchased the assets of Snyder's Carey Associates to prepare this plan. I had the opportunity to talk to Dr. Moffitt, who is the potential occupant of this huge building for the first time a couple of days ago. Apparently there's a divorce in play here, which is the reasoning behind why this is taking so long. Staff, we've had multiple conversations in terms of the multiple requests as well as the length of the requests. We did continue with a six-month extension request. Even staff had recommended maybe a three. But I can tell you that there has not been very much movement in terms of addressing the conditions. So 6 months would be the minimum, and I don't want to appear in front of you in another 6 months and tell you that it's close, because I don't know that it would be. But that is the reason Dr. Moffitt was fine with me expressing that to the board and explaining the scenario behind it. He does have a desire to move to the property and relocate his practice here. He's just stuck in a little bit of advanced land.
I'm going to add to that one of the conditions for ultimately approving and recording of the plan is the posting of security to guarantee the required improvements. And in this case, it's $149,545. Just so the board's aware that that's probably a stumbling block during the troubles that Dr. Moffitt is having.
My general just concern is that as time goes on, the conditions that existed at the time this was originally approved may have changed, could have changed, maybe did change. And maybe the board, if it were looking at this plan today, would look at it differently. I don't even know. I don't remember there being big concerns. But Greg, if we were to continue this one more time, I guess my concern is we're going to continue it again until things and request 6 months. And then,
to be honest with you, I cannot stand here and tell you that I will not be back in front of you in 6 months. So
what's the worst case
if we don't do it?
I mean, I think that's what I was thinking, that, you know, we give you, we grant the continuance. I recognize this, that you sort of just got involved in this. I'm just speaking for me. I understand the personal issue that the applicant is involved in, but we need to have some. The idea would be to grant a continuance, and if the board is in agreement with the condition that if these things aren't met by January of 2024, we're going to reserve the right to kind of open it back up, look at it, and determine if any other conditions need to be imposed.
That's fair. That is the same content of the conversation I had with the applicant a couple of days ago. He understands as well, and acknowledges that, you know, this is a little bit of a unique scenario, and he's trying to work hard.
And you know as much as anybody, right? Like, traffic has become a
part of exactly what I told him. But,
so things have changed in the last 2 years, and we're being more aggressive looking at all the plans that come through. So, all right, so does anybody else have any questions or comments?
I just have a question.
Yeah. Are there any other conditions struck by particularly onerous? Is there a way to start chipping away at any of the other ones, Greg? Just in that good faith?
Some of them are very straightforward. You know, one of the issues, there's an HOP involved that, unfortunately, expire, so there's going to need to be a process to go back and get that renewed. And, you know, once again, you know, hindsight being 2020, and you know, probably have a different approach had you known that we're sitting here for 2 years. I think realistically, Chuck hit it on the head. It's a money issue, you know, getting the bank to release funds for, you know, the middle of Pentagon Wharf.
And I will add to that the municipality's planning code allows the security to be increased. I'm going to say if there's no activity, but over the span of a year, 10% by year. And I have taken this security, which was originally $135,950, and increased it by the amount permitted by the MPC to ensure the township's protected with the security that they're having because this plan has gone on for so long. So if that's at all helpful, it's not like we're dealing with old money. It's been updated as permitted by the MPC.
Any other questions then? Any other questions for Chuck? I'm willing to make this motion, and we'll see if anyone wants to second it, but I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve. I'm going to get back the fourth time extension for the conditional approval of the preliminary final land development plan for 1106 Cocoa Avenue. For Nagillum or Nagillum Properties LLC, Plat 1333, to January 4th, 2024, with the understanding that if the applicant hasn't been able to meet the conditions of the approval by that time, the board reserves the right to reopen that land development plan and reassess any issues that might have changed between the time of first approval. So that's my motion. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
All right, seconded by Mr. Wyckoff. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So the motion passes 3-1. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
The next item is I. It's the acceptance of unilateral declaration of covenants, conditions, and restrictions on release of financial security for the stormwater management site plan for the Hershey Company West Plant Patio. General?
This is a situation, we've had a few of these in the recent months. The Hershey Company did submit a detailed stormwater management plan to the township, which was approved. They posted security. They recorded their operation and maintenance agreement. And they've decided that they are abandoning the project. So they've asked for return of their financial security, which was $28,823. to address this matter of a recorded stormwater management plan being on file. Pat Armstrong did prepare the unilateral declaration of covenants, conditions, and restrictions, which states that the Hershey Company declares the stormwater management plan to be formally withdrawn and no longer a valid plan. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accepts the unilateral declaration of covenants, conditions, and restrictions and releases the financial security in the amount of $28,823 for the stormwater management site plan for the Hershey Company, patio S2020-025, conditioned upon the Hershey Company signing and recording the declaration and providing proof of recording to the township.
Any questions for Mr. Emmerich? And if not, can we have a motion?
I move that the board accepts the unilateral declaration of covenants, conditions, and restrictions and releases financial security in the amount of $28,823 for the stormwater management site plan for the Hershey Company West Plant Patio, S-2020-25, conditional upon the Hershey Company signing and recording the declaration and providing proof of recording to the township.
Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item is J, is the release, authorization to release the performance security and entering the maintenance security period for the final land development plan for Cacao Way, Plat 1331. Mr. Emery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan depicted the demolition of the former Milton Hershey School, or I'm sorry, student home, at 50 Northeast Drive and the construction of a four-story, 75-unit apartment building. Construction has been completed. Recent inspection by HRG has led to their recommendation that release of the remaining balance of $63,773 is warranted, and that maintenance security be provided to guarantee the structural integrity of the improvements within the public right-of-way along Northeast Drive. These improvements are estimated to be $8,762 per the subdivision and land development ordinance. 15% of this amount is required to be provided as maintenance security, which is $1,314 to be retained for an 18-month period. I'm recommending that the board release the remaining balance and accept the security in the amount of $1,314.
Questions for Mr. Emmerich? If not, can we have a motion?
Do we have that security in place yet, Chuck?
Okay, you called me. I didn't read all the words. So that you release the...
No, the 1300, do we have that
conditioned
yet?
Upon that being given to us.
Okay, good.
Is there a motion?
I'll move that the board authorizes the release of the remaining balance, $63,773 of the performance security provided for Plat 1331, contingent upon the developer providing maintenance security in the amount of $1,314.
Very good. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. The last item under new business is K. It's the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for 25 Hawthorne Drive, S-2023-005. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This stormwater management facility was designed for a detached garage at 25 Hawthorne Drive. The applicants and property owners are Michael and Karen Fidash. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $7,772 be provided. The applicants have provided that amount of cash and have entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security to guarantee the completion of improvements required by a stormwater management site plan and report. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accepts the cash financial security and enters into the agreement to provide financial service us to provide financial security between Michael Fadesh and Karen Fadesh and the township for stormwater management plan for 25 Hawthorne Drive as 2023-05. And I assure you I'm not having a stroke.
Any questions for Mr. Emmerich on this item? And if not, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. That the Board of Supervisors accepts cash financial security in the amount of $7,720 and enters into for an agreement to provide financial security between Michael and Karen Fadesh and the Township for the Stormwater Management Plan for 25 Hawthorne Drive, S-2023-005.
Very good. Motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Zuna. Any questions?
You'll be all right.
He's so cool, he doesn't even vote.
Yeah, he's taking the motion to get out.
All right, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Here are none of that. The motion passes unanimously. That concludes new business on the agenda. The next item is Supervisor Board of Committee Reports. We'll start with Mr. Zabuda. So, Mr. Zabuda.
I'll make it easy on you. I have nothing for tonight, Mr. Chair. Thank you very
much. Mr. Corrado. Get out. I have no report.
Mr. Wyckoff.
I have no report this evening.
And I also have no report. That takes the departmental reports. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things. You had a copy of the letter that was given to our department from the concerns of police survivors in reference to members of our honor guard being in Washington, D.C. during Police Week. Their primary mission down there was to help the families down there of the loved ones of fallen police officers that were being honored this year. They do everything from carrying luggage to just helping them out with any of the stuff that they need while they're down there, making their stay down there a little bit more comfortable and just showing support. So it's nice to be able to do that. The only other thing I have is we participated in a wave of subsidized enforcement through PennDOT in reference to pedestrian safety. That was once deployed to mid-May. We received some funding to do some pedestrian safety enforcement. And we did a couple of details in the downtown area. We had 11 officers participate in these details. We issued 23 traffic citations, 9 written warnings, and 1 verbal warning. So the officers said they enjoyed it. We did some covert enforcement by sending a decoy out. I've done that before. It's a little bit on the dangerous side, but so we did some of those details just to get people to be aware, slow down, and educate and enforce. So with the board's consent, we'll probably go beyond what the funding was and try to do some more details downtown. The officers seem to enjoy it, so if they're willing to participate, I'm willing to authorize those details and try to increase that pedestrian safety.
Very good. Thank you, Chief. Mr. Sassman, Volunteer Fire Department.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I just want to say thank you for this evening and the funding. Clearly, your dedication to township, the supervisors, to the safety and the well-being of the fire department is well noted, so we appreciate that very much. Additionally, 77 calls for May, and I'd also like to, under state funding or grant, we were able to buy a new Hurst cutter, a spreader, and a ram. So we got 3 what is called hydraulic tools, so they work off of battery power now, and they were put onto our rescue last week. So we got those through state grant, and they are through the Hurst, who is probably the originator of the Jaws of Life, if you will. So we've been a long time customer of theirs, and their products are great.
Is the cutter, is that, can you just describe what you use it for? Because I'm thinking.
So, sure. So your cutter is the, if you will, it's like a big scissors. And then the posts of the cars, typically, like where the windshield is, anywhere in there, you can, with one working of the scissor, if you will, or the cutter, it can cut that in half. So the cutter is for there. The spreader will open the doors or displace dashes and so forth. And then the ram itself can be used to actually push dashes back or disentangle a piece of vehicle that could be around someone that's entrapped.
Good. Okay. Thank you. I was thinking something completely different.
Okay. Yeah. Nope.
Thank you.
And go Bears. It's 3-1.
All right. Mr. Piccolo of Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick update on where we're at with our paving projects. No bug talk tonight, so I know you were right. Tuesday, June 6th, William and Lexington have been milled. Wednesday, June 7th, Cambridge has been milled, will be milled. Thursday, no work due to weather conditions. Friday, June 9th, East Glen milled and moved to Shady Hill Estates. Monday, June 12th, no work due to forecast. Tuesday, June 13th, Appenzell and Zurich have been milled. Wednesday, June 14th, projected milling of Bittersweet and Boxwood. June 15th, Thursday, paving of William and Lexington Avenue. Friday, June 16th, paved Cambridge Drive and half of East Glen. Remainder will be paved the week of June 19th. And all this is contingent upon weather. We lost a couple days due to air quality issues and some rain. So that's where we're at with that. Wood Road and Middletown Road light is going to be taken down tomorrow. And that's also contingent upon weather. But that's supposed to come down tomorrow. And that, I'll just say about the board roof, Zach might have been reporting on it, but I'll just do it. The Shine Park barn roof has been completely replaced. The old cedar shakes, it looked like a planetarium when you were inside looking up through there. Cedar shakes and everything was taken off. And new plywood was put down, and the membrane, that was all done in one day, Saturday. That was amazing to watch that. And then today they finished the metalwork. So they lost half a day yesterday due to rain, finished it up today. So basically in 2 days that barn roof has been replaced, and we shouldn't have to worry about it for a long time. But, that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
The intersection of Wood Road and Middletown Road, we've had now some experience now for some period of months with a light at that location. So this is just my visceral observation is that I've heard people that are in favor of it reach out to me, and people opposed to it reach out to me. So what I'm wondering is, it goes with PennDOT's the one that put it there. But is there reason or is there a way for us to reassess whether or not at that intersection we want to consider putting southbound Middletown Road a left-hand turn lane onto Wood? There, I don't know if there's enough room to put a left-hand turn, and I know it gets narrow there. But on the one hand, I would say that there were times. My observation with that light is that it really backed up traffic on Middletown Road. So I get that. On the other hand, it was a much safer intersection to traverse. And so I'm just wondering, what did we learn? And I'm interested in anybody's opinion, but I think we have an obligation to think about this, about should we go, did that light bring improvements? And if it brought improvements and it was safer, is there some, should we be looking at, maybe it's not a light, maybe it's a turn lane, or maybe it is a light, but.
Well, from what I've, this isn't my realm, but I can tell you what I have been told, is PennDOT would most likely not be in favor of another light there because it's too close to the light that's down at Sheets.
Okay.
So I don't know if it'd be a tough sell to get PennDOT to maybe think about putting another light there.
So it's, and Middletown Road's a state road.
Yeah.
So PennDOT, if we went to them and said, look, okay, we get it with no light, but how about a left-hand turn lane going southbound to Wood? That would still be their determination, right?
Yeah, that would be something for the traffic committee to talk about.
Okay. All right, I'll raise that then with Rick and Natalie. I just think that I don't want to lose whatever we learned from that experience. I think it's, we're making improvements in lots of areas of township, and that candidly is always, again, another one of those tricky intersections.
I think it made it a lot easier getting out of Wood Road on the Middletown Road if you're taking a left there, so that's just my opinion. So.
Okay, thank you for that report. Thanks for that information. All right.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I noticed on social media there's been some complaints about poison hemlock in the township. So we have done a large amount of poison hemlock spraying. What we do is we go out early in the spring and we spray the poison hemlock when it's in a rosette form. It's looks like parsley on the ground before it gets the stalks. So we've been trying to control as much of that as possible in the springtime. And then we do spray this time of the year, and we have been spraying poison hemlock. A lot of it is on private property outside of what we can spray. I just had actually one of the guys at Shank Park go up there and hand remove some poison hemlock towards the entrance of the park. It was bugging me, but it's very visible now with the white flowers, and everybody sees it. And it won't be long, and they'll fade out. It'll kind of go away again. But we do what we can do as far as control with poison hemlock. But so much of it is outside of our way, right away, we just can't spray it.
Okay, thanks for looking into that.
Sure.
Allison, library?
We're very excited that summer reading has started at the library, and some events to note are on June 20th at 2 p.m. we have Finn the Giant being presented by Tucker's Tales Puppet Theater. On June 20th at 6 p.m., Rodney Ross, who is a local author, will be talking about Harrisburg and World War II, which should be really interesting. And then on Saturday, June 24th, WITF will be actually presenting Ready, Set, Explore, The Science of Chocolate at Hershey Public Library between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. Apparently, we have about 300 people registered for it already. So be ready for crowds. and then check online for more information about any events happening at the library,
and
they're always in the
township
news.
You've got a lot of people back in the library, right? Post-COVID,
yeah.
I know we've talked about this, but we have a good amount of the number of people visiting.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of people return. I think I processed 15 new card applications today, just myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you considering any change in hours on the weekends or anything like that?
Okay. That's fine.
You're doing a great job with that. Without the programming and everything. Mr. Jackson,
thank you.
I have no report tonight. And I thank you for your indulgence. Next meeting, Zach is going to give us sort of a year update on the community center. And
yes.
Yep. I've gotten a little preview of it, but it'll be nice to be able to do that for the public. And
sure. Spoiler alert, things are looking good again this year. It would be a good report.
We greatly appreciate it, Zach. I know how hard you and your team have worked since the day you was in that place. And for anybody that's visited there, if you're there, you see how hard your staff is working constantly. It's not just opening it and maintaining it. It's just all the troubleshooting, all the things that happen with new facilities, and staying on top of that, and being in customer service. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Cummings, Township Engineer.
I have no report for you tonight.
Fine tradition of our engineer reports. Mr. Emmerich.
We did have the first Music in the Park of our summer concert series, speaking as DHA. We probably had 400 to 500 people attend. The free music was 7 to 10 p.m. The entire music series is sponsored by Troves and Hidden Steel.
Very good.
That's great.
Thank you. And
second Saturday of each month.
I think we should also thank Parks and Rec. I'm sure Public Works was involved in this. The Memorial Day celebration. Thank you to everybody, all the township staff, Mr. Chrisman, everybody. It was a big team effort, as it usually is, to put that on. But it was a very nice ceremony, well done, well attended. But I appreciate all the people on a Monday, on a holiday, from the township that were there and made that event happen. And it's all of you and your team, so thank you. All right, Mr. Chrisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on the conversation about our traffic signal at Wood and Milltown, we did put that on the transportation agenda already, knowing that the detour would be lifting last week. You know, I reached out to Mr. Stump to let him know that there was interest on the part of some board members that I've had conversation with about retaining that signal, if it's possible. Again, there'll be some discussion and work to do with PennDOT to figure that out, but you know, that's yet to be determined, but it is on our radar screen, so we did not lose sight of it.
No, I want to, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that this is nothing was on top of that. From the first day we got notice that the light would be removed, that's why she, you know, kudos to her for staying, for raising the idea and setting it in motion. So if she were here tonight, she would have been asking, you know, making sure that that question was asked. All right.
Other than that, nothing else to report. Just to thank Bob Piccolo for being here tonight. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that. So
it's a great night. with that, I will take us to our next. Is there a public comment session? As there are no members of the public present, we've outlasted everybody tonight. We close that session, that part of the agenda, and we'll move to adjournment. Is there a motion?
Motion for adjournment.
Motion made by Mr. Zmuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Meeting is adjourned.